from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and in this segment, we're going to talk about Proposition 39, which actually seeks to close a loophole that measure supporters say gives unfair tax breaks to out-of-state companies. And supporters of the measure say taxing out-of-state companies based on their California sales would bring in $1 billion annually and help level the playing field for California companies. About half of the tax money, $550 million a year, would go to energy efficiency programs and green jobs. But critics say the tax increase will discourage job creation, and they also say that allocating money specifically for green programs is another example of ballot box budgeting that ties the hands of lawmakers. Well, one of those lawmakers is with us in studio. Kevin De Leon is state senator. He co-chairs the Yes on 39 campaign and campaign co-chair, also author of the original legislation whose policy is reflected in Prop 39. Senator, good to have you here.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. We also want to welcome Jack Stewart, who is president of the California Manufacturers and Technology Association and is with us by phone this morning. Jack Stewart, good to have you aboard.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Michael. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jack.
And the way we do this, as both of you perhaps know, is we begin with the pro side. And so, Senator De Leon, let me begin with you. Let's talk about this loophole. Some of the concern over this from your side of the fence is 2009, when the budget negotiations were going on, there were no public hearings, no public debate. Legislation and lobbyists, I guess, really got the thing through.
Yeah, that's correct. Good morning again to all the good folks here in the Bay Area. Back in 2009, in February, we were in very heated, polemic negotiations with regards to the budget. Sometime in February, it was a late night evening, about 2 in the morning, when there was a negotiated secret deal behind closed doors, where there was a lack of transparency in the public hearings on an egregious corporate tax loophole that was included as part of an agreement in the state budget. That sort of broke the stalemate, if you will, at the time with the Republicans. Unfortunately, the vast majority of Californians and the vast majority of elected officials, both in the Senate as well as the Assembly, had no clue as to the nature of this egregious corporate tax loophole, which was a single sales factor that is not mandatory but rather elective. What the consequences are of this backroom midnight deal is a $1 billion hole into the general fund. And as we know, with the disproportionate impact of this global recession, California has felt with the draconian cuts, $1 billion less in our general fund is not a good thing. And obviously, we need to get that $1 billion back for job creation and for schools.
And you're talking about not only schools, but a great deal of this money initially will go into creating jobs in the green economy, 40,000 construction and clean energy jobs is the estimate. Why the green economy, though? I mean, there are some who are saying, well, there's a lot of money behind this from Farallon Capital, and their investments have a lot to do with the green economy.
Well, let me say this. I'm a true believer, as well as all the co-chairs, Tom Steyer, you referenced, as well
head
as
of Farallon Capital.
Farallon Capital, as well as Secretary of State George Shultz in energy efficiency for a whole variety of different reasons. One, we believe strongly that our economy has been impacted disproportionately by this global recession due to the subprime debacle that we've had with derivatives and hedge funds. And we have a lot of folks who are unemployed here in the state of California. Roughly in terms of raw numbers, we have more unemployed in the state of California than you can take Michigan, Ohio, Nevada, Florida, and Texas. Those states combined don't come close to the number of unemployed we have in the state of California. So we have to put folks back to work. We believe with energy efficiency projects up and down the state of California, public buildings, public schools, that we can put folks back to work, especially those folks who've been devastated by this economy, by the unemployment. The great thing about energy efficiency, Michael, is that these are jobs that can be exported to, say, for example, Guangzhou, China. Can be exported to Mexico or any other country outside of the United States. These are labor-intensive jobs that must be done here in the state of California.
But Jack Stewart, you're saying this will lead to job loss.
It will lead to job loss, and I am concerned about the manufacturers who are going to be impacted by this. They are multi-state companies, companies that produce in California and other places, probably headquartered in other places. But the fact is that when you increase taxes on manufacturers in California, it makes it more and more difficult to compete here. We see companies leave California. We heard 2 weeks ago that Campbell Soup is leaving California, not specifically for single sales factor reason, but because of high cost of doing business in high taxes in California, high regulatory costs. Every time you raise taxes on a company, It's going to break the back of somebody, and that's what we're concerned about every time we raise these taxes. And on the loophole issue, I want to address that because it's important to understand how this all came about and how single sales factor versus multi-factor apportionment works. Apportionment means the way a multi-state company apportions the appropriate amount of money to pay taxes on, appropriate income to pay taxes on in each state. So there's a formula for doing that. The formula that Senator De Leon supports is a single sales factor formula. The formula that has been in place in California since 1966 is a three-factor formula looking at sales, investment, and payroll.
We should mention here also that, I mean, from your perspective, you mentioned the difficulty of business climate here. California does have the highest business taxes in the West, but you're also concerned about regulatory burdens as a result of this proposition. Can you be specific on that?
I said that that's part of the reason. I didn't mean to bring the regulatory issue into the single sales factor, Prop 39 issue. I'm saying that companies leave for a various number of reasons. Set taxes is one of them. Regulation is another.
But you've also, I think, it's mentioned in the opposition to this that there's going to be more bloated pensions. How do you figure that?
I don't know what you're talking about, bloated pensions.
Well, that's what I saw in the opposition that was written on the ballot, that those who are supporting 39 are going to have a result of more bloated pensions. So if that's not in your purview, we'll just move on and talk about what you see as...
But what I want to talk about is how the multiple sales factor and apportionment came into practice in California. The multiple sales factor has been part of the California tax code since 1966. In 1974, California joined a multi-state tax commission to normalize the way apportionment was done amongst the various states to make it easier for companies who operate in many states. And what happened was that's the way California has performed its and apportioned taxes for multi-state companies for the last 35, 40 years. So what's happening now is in 2009, in a budget deal, there was a group of legislators who wanted to preferred to have California go to the single sales factor. There was not agreement in the legislature to do that. And so the loophole that was really created was a loophole for those who wanted the single sales factor, because you had many years of constant and continuous tax policy. And what we did is instead of allowing that to go forward, the companies that wanted and the legislators that wanted to go to single sales factor actually gave companies the option of either paying their taxes under the multiple factors formula or the single sales factor formula in 2009. So it wasn't the folks who have been paying the multiple formula for years that caused the problem. It was that what we did is we made an election, and the legislature voted for that. Senator, I don't know if you voted for that bill or not. I know most of the Democrats voted for that bill.
Well, it got through the Assembly, I believe. Isn't that true, Senator Dale?
It did get through the Assembly. Obviously, it got through the Senate. I would venture to say that the vast majority of elected officials that night at 2 in the morning had no clue what the consequences would be with regards to an elective single sales factor. I did not vote for it, so it's on the record. Since then, I have been trying to reverse that very bad tax policy measure that passed. Let me sort of scale back a little bit, because as you can tell, tax policy, especially multi-state corporate tax policy, is very complex and very arcane.
Not the sexiest topic.
It's not the sexiest topic by no stretch of imagination. Jack is right with regards to back in 1974, California went to a 33-33-33 apportionment formula, which is 33% based on sales, 33% based on property, as well as 33% based on payroll. Those are boots on the street. Back in 1992, we changed that in the legislature in California. I wasn't there at the time, but we wanted to incentivize California businesses to create more jobs and lessen the burden, if you will, on payroll as well as property. And we created a 50-25-25 formula. What happened was California businesses still complained because they said that there was no parity across the nation with regards to the single sales factor, because you had major states, New York, Michigan, Texas,
Illinois.
Recently, Microsoft in the state of Washington, Oregon, they've gone to a single sales factor that's mandatory, not elective. So my argument is the following. If it's good enough for Republican Governor Chris Christie in the state of New Jersey, And if it's good enough for New Yorkers in the state of New Yorker, and just recently up in the state up north of us, and for Bill Gates and Microsoft in the state of Washington, then single sales factor is good enough for California. That's mandatory, because what it does, it creates parity among the tax policy. So when you have a California-based company that's headquartered in here, they're not incentivized to create jobs outside of the state of California. They create jobs for Californians. So if you're a multi-state corporation headquartered, anchored outside of California, you produce a good, you export that good, you deliver that good to California. California is the mother lode, if you will, if not the nation in the world, for consumerism. You make a tremendous amount of profit, yet the tax policy in California, you're not incentivized to create any jobs in the state of California. So you have folks who are gaming the system at the cost of individual California taxpayers and California businesses.
And you say what to that, Jack Stewart?
Well, I wouldn't call it gaming the system. I would say the senator correctly says that some states have gone to single sales factor, mandatory single sales factor, but still a majority of the states are in the multi-state tax compact that offer, and to be part of that, you must offer the three-factor sales apportionment. He said New Jersey, Christie in New Jersey assigned the bill to get a single sales factor. Well, that was actually a net tax decrease for New Jersey. You can't compare New Jersey to Washington to California to Texas. If we want to do that, I mean, I'll take the Texas taxes, overall business taxes, any day compared to what we have here in California.
But we're not talking about the overall climate. We're talking about specifically
and
when
we're
it comes to single sales factor.
Specific sales factor here is right. And we what we're trying to do is to keep businesses here, multi-state companies, the ones I'm concerned about. This is a very sweeping change in the tax code affecting many different industries and many different parts of the economy. What I'm concerned about are the manufacturers who actually have manufacturing facilities in California and have create jobs here, have investment here, pay state taxes, pay suppliers in California, create thousands of jobs in California. When you increase their taxes, that decreases their incentive to expand and create new jobs in California. In 2011, there were 2,700 industrial expansions in the United States. California, 13% of the national economy, got 0.5% of those expansions. And this is exactly part of the reason why companies are not investing in California, because they make an investment here under a tax code or under a regulatory scheme, and the first thing they know, somebody's changing that. Manufacturers, when they make investment, the manufacturer makes an investment, they're looking out 10, 15 years to amortize that investment. When you make an investment and you expand your plant or you modernize your plant, then the next year somebody says, "Oops, we're going to change the tax rules here, or we're going to change the regulatory rules here." That disincentivizes companies to invest and expand in California, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
All right, Jack Stewart again is president of CMTA, that's the California Manufacturers and Technology Association, and Kevin De Leon, a state senator who co-chairs the Yes on 39 campaign. You, the listeners, may want to weigh in on this, and certainly we'd like to hear from you. And let me give out the phone number. It's toll-free, and you can join us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. We welcome your input. We welcome your contributions. And we welcome your questions and comments. Again, join us now at 866-733-6786 or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have on our website by simply going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. Or you can also go to our Facebook page or tweet us, and our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Again, we're talking about Prop 39, which seeks to close a loophole that measure supporters say gives unfair tax breaks to out-of-state companies. Supporters say the measure, is taxing out-of-state companies based on their California sales would bring in $1 billion annually and help level the playing field for California companies. What we're hearing from Jack Stewart and the other side is, of course, that jobs will be lost and companies will leave under these different circumstances if they come to pass, as they have in other states, as we mentioned, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and so forth. There's also another provision in this we should mention in this particular proposition, which includes financial accountability and independent audits, annual audits. Can you talk about that, Senator?
Yeah, I think it's a really important component. We find out through our research that Californians are willing to support measures such as Prop 39. But there is a little cynicism, no doubt about it. I can understand that. It doesn't make a difference if you're a Democrat or Republican. So we want some transparency and accountability. If our measure does pass, we expect our measure to pass come November 6th. We're going to have a strict citizens oversight board that will do an independent audit on an annual basis to make sure that the dollars were spent specifically for job creation in the state of California. It's a win-win situation for California because, number one, we close an egregious corporate tax loophole. Number two, we create jobs for Californians, not for New Yorkers, not for Texans, not for folks out of the country, but for Californians, labor-intensive jobs. And three, we have an infusion of hundreds of millions of dollars for our public schools. God knows I've been there. I've seen the draconian cuts that we've made, unfortunately, sadly. And we need to backfill some of those cuts with the money that folks currently are gaming the system with.
What about the argument that this is more ballot box budgeting?
Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. As a state legislator, there is I do have a concern with the whole concept of ballot budgeting because we don't want to be handcuffed. We have a system, I believe, that's set up sometimes for failure. It creates a dysfunction in Sacramento. Nonetheless, I've attempted to pass this measure on three different occasions, AB 1405, SB 116. Per the Constitution, it requires two-thirds to pass it. And I've been unsuccessful for 3 years consecutively. So as an individual who understands ballot box budgeting, which I don't like at all whatsoever, I believe that you have hired me to do the job for you. I don't like it. But I can tell you one thing right now. With Prop 39, we need it. And that's why I became co-chair of Prop 39, because I've tried three consecutive years. The special interests from out of the state of California have been quite successful with their grip on the Capitol by blocking it each and every time.
Jack Stewart, listener asked the following question. I'd like your response. It's from our website. Says, what evidence is there to support the contention that this measure will hurt jobs? Are there any independent studies?
There aren't any independent studies specifically on Prop 39. There was a ledge analyst study, and somebody earlier mentioned 40,000 jobs that will be created. You know, if those jobs are going to be created, they should have already been created, because the ledge analyst study is not on Prop 39, but on going from multiple factor to single sales factor. So we went companies that can take advantage of single sales factor have already taken advantage of that. And so the jobs that are going to be created are already created. Now what you're doing is you're doing a tax increase on companies that are operating in California, multi-state companies that operate in California and other states, who have plant and equipment, huge investments in California and employ thousands of Californians. When you raise taxes, the cost of business goes up, and we've seen just way too many companies, especially in my sector of the economy, manufacturers. We've lost over 600,000 manufacturing jobs in California in the last 10 years. We ought to be doing all we can to protect those jobs rather than incentivizing those companies to invest elsewhere.
And these companies are?
Well, there are many of them. For instance, none of the companies are participating in Prop 39. We have all worked very hard in the legislature on Senator De Leon's bills, opposing those bills. Companies like International Paper, that has thousands of employees here and plants all over the state. Kimberly-Clark, who has plants in California. We think that we need to protect those jobs. I mean, those companies don't have to manufacture here. And what happens is when the cost of shipping a product into California is less than producing it in California, then the company just makes the decision to go somewhere else.
Well, we've got to actually, since we're talking about companies specifically, I think our first caller is in Emeryville, which is Apple territory. And Fran, you want to bring up Apple here?
Yes, I certainly do. I would really like to understand from both of you what the contribution Apple and other technology companies would make to the California budget if this proposition was passed. And I'd like to hear from each of you. And I'd also like to understand the effect the proposition might have on Apple and other technology companies, positive or negative.
Kevin De Leon.
Sure. I'm not quite sure if Apple is a supporter of Prop 39. I do know that my SB 116, which is the exact same language of Prop 39, they had come out as an official supporter.
Apple has companies set up all over the world,
Obviously, they have a very different business model. We have a lot of high-tech companies in the state of California, for example, Genentech, as well as Qualcomm, who are strongly supportive of this measure, as well as a pharmaceutical company down in Southern California, which is Amgen, which is one of the largest pharmaceutical companies that have created jobs here in the state of California. And it's a win-win situation because we want to incentivize them to create the jobs here in the state of California. I'm going to give you an example of Genentech, which is a pharmaceutical biotech firm, obviously just south of us here in South San Francisco. They created a plant in Southern Oregon, and it was construction jobs and well-paid jobs in their manufacturing plant in Southern Oregon. They have come out on the record publicly stating because of the single sales factor that's elective, they were incentivized with the current tax policy by current and subsidized by taxpayers of the state of California to open up a plant and create jobs for Oregonians, because it's difficult for them to compete with their competitors that are headquartered and rooted outside of the state of California. I find that to be quite grotesque that we have a tax policy that incentivizes job creation for our California companies while at the same time allowing out-of-state corporations to game the tax system. And that's why we must close this egregious tax loophole.
And you say what, Jack Stewart?
Well, I'm just saying that I really don't understand quite how you get from being able to elect whether to pay single sales or multiple factor and say that, well, now I got single sales, but I'm still not going to invest in California. And that it gives somebody else the advantage. I want to get back to the question, though, on Apple. You know, I'm a huge Apple fan. I just got a new iPhone 5. I'm very happy with it. I have an iPad. But, you know, Apple, and it's a great California company. But we chased Apple's manufacturing out of California many years ago because of the high cost of manufacturing in California. And now Apple, I just see Apple's expanding in Nevada. Apple's expanding in Texas. They have the opportunity. They have single sales factor, the opportunity to elect single sales factor for their state income taxes, but they're choosing to invest elsewhere. And what Prop 39 does is just exacerbates that problem for many companies who are not headquartered in California, but have huge and specific very large investments in California and create jobs for many Californians.
But I want to get more callers in here, but before I do, just a quick question to you, Jack Stewart, from a listener on our website who says, if this proposition passes, will it encourage employers with a small footprint in California to shut down due to steep tax hikes, and how will it affect companies that sell equipment to California companies for use in other states?
I think if I understand the question correctly, how you're talking about California-based companies selling to other companies in other states, the current system should solve their problem right now. They have the ability to go either single sales or multiple factor. They have the ability to choose which way they want to calculate their state income tax.
Let me give an example. If you're an out-of-state corporate, multi-state corporation, and you do robust sales in the state of California, with the current setup system you have, you can choose to be taxed exclusively on your sales, or you can choose the old three-factor formula apportionment, which is 50% sales and 25%. Yeah. But if you choose the latter, you'll always choose the latter because you cut your taxes in half by 50%. Right. But the California companies don't get that incentive. And that's why this is a perverse, grotesque tax incentive for out-of-state corporations. You just cut your tax by half, 50%.
California has that incentive. They have the ability to choose single sales factor.
Well, that's precisely the point, Jack. You have an ability to choose that, and you cannot choose that for out-of-state corporations. You do so at the expense of California manufacturers that are rooted and anchored in the state of California, who have a large footprint, and that's the difference.
Let's hear from another caller here, and Chris, join us on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, your business representative there is typical of business representatives. They have succeeded in my lifetime, and I'm 65, in shifting all the taxes from business to the individual, and then they attack individuals. What this 09 deal, because it took a couple of Republican votes to pass a budget, did was let companies pay tax accountants and tax lawyers so they pay zero taxes in California. And everybody wants to sell in California. Nobody wants to spend any, employ people in California. And I say to those companies that, like Comcast, that want to move all their employees out of California, great. Nobody in California should do any business with them.
Jack Stewart.
Well, that's their prerogative. But, you know, the companies I'm talking about are multi-state companies that have made investments in California and are creating middle-class jobs, high-paying jobs in California for California workers. And I think we ought to be, you know, paying attention to those companies who are willing to stay here. As I said, we've seen so much manufacturing disappear from California. Hundreds of companies have, probably thousands of companies over the last 10 years have left California. I don't have evidence of that. I'm just extrapolating there. But the fact is we've lost 630,000 manufacturing jobs in California the last 10 years. They are our middle-class jobs. We wring our hands about the loss of middle-class jobs and talk about how are we going to recreate those jobs. And now what we're doing with this Prop 39 is saying, okay, we appreciate these companies that have invested in California and have made California their home for a plant, and they've hired workers, they pay taxes in California, they pay fees for all of their environmental issues. And now we're saying to those, well, that's not quite enough. We want to grab some more money out of your pocket.
Let me thank the caller. I want to get another quick call on here, and that's you, Scott. Welcome.
Hi. So this seems to me like another example of ballot box budgeting, where regardless of your opinion on the actual issue, it's another, instead of the legislature dealing with taxation, it's up to the voters and an incredibly complicated issue. So how is a voter, how are we supposed to make sense of this and not just say no all the time on these propositions because they end up getting this incredibly complicated tax code?
Scott, that's...
Yeah, I was going to go to you, Kevin.
Well, Scott, he's doing a good job by saying no.
Well, Scott,
I appreciate that comment.
Scott, let me say that you're absolutely right. This is a very complex and arcane issue, but it's very simple the way it's encapsulated in Prop 39, because it's a win-win situation. Number one, we close an egregious corporate tax loophole. Number two, not one single tax will be raised on individual California taxpayers or California-based businesses. And that's a win-win situation. We create jobs for Californians who are currently unemployed, jobs that can be exported or offshored. And by the way, we help our environment by reducing greenhouse gases because we start retrofitting public schools, public buildings, creating jobs. This Prop 39 measure has the potential to be the biggest economic stimulator package we've had in decades.
Final word from you, Jack Stewart.
Vote no on Prop 39. We have lots of programs in California.
And I would say vote yes on 39.
All right.
We already pay billions of dollars through our electricity bills and our gas bills to finance green jobs and green.
I didn't want to even get into history when Assembly Speaker Perez tried to get something similar through the Assembly. I mean, you know, one wonders why these have to wind up on a ballot rather than get through the legislature, but that's for another day and another program. Thank you, Kevin De Leon, Senator, chairs the Yes on 39 campaign. Thank you, Jack Stewart, president of the California Manufacturers and Technology Association. And thanks to you, our listeners, and thanks also to our staff. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our producers are Irene Noguchi and Amanda Stupai. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.